Good morning and welcome to the Presbyterian Church of Floyd. This is Reverend Bob McLavey welcoming you to our time together. This morning we're going to have a message from the Gospel of Luke. This is the time that Jesus comes face to face with a demon-possessed man. We're going to look at it in context of the world that we live in today, where we are faced with true evil, and we turn to the power of God in order to help us through these times. And then we have a great song by Alan Vest, a song that has been prepared by Alan, one that's very familiar to you all, Softly and Tenderly. So as we prepare now to hear God's word, let us pray. Dear Lord, we bow humbly before you. We thank you for your presence in our lives. We thank you for the hope that you give us, the hope to be able to confront evil in the world and to pray for your transformative love to overcome that evil. And so, Lord, we pray now that you will speak to us through the power of your Spirit. Help us to hear your word as you would have us hear it. We lift all of this to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our scripture passage this morning does come from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8. Verses 22 through 39. One day, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke Jesus, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided, and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." They sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him, and they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. Well, friends, we are living in a world where we are constantly receiving the news of evil in our world. At this particular time, we are concerned about what is happening in Israel and how the Israel people were truly attacked by terrorists, what we can only describe as being pure evil in the acts that they committed. And friends, I want to say this morning that we cannot, we must not, allow ourselves to become hardened to such news. We cannot simply accept that such evil is in our midst without speaking out about the one thing that has a chance of overcoming such evil, and that is the unconditional and undeniable love of God. It is this love that transforms lives and breaks down barriers of hostility and hate. Love, the love that we saw exhibited by our Lord Jesus Christ as he went to die on a cross for us, it is that kind of love that brings about the awesome power of God. Now, our scripture passage this morning is a classic example of the awesome power of God coming face to face with evil. Such awesome power can be difficult to comprehend, especially in the context of ordinary daily life. But that power, while beyond our human frame of reference, has the ability to transform lives. It has transformed lives in the past. It transforms lives today for those who will sincerely seek it, and it will transform lives for eternity. But for a moment, many in our world today seem to choose to minimize this power of love in exchange for affluence or power, false hope, instant gratification, and relationships that occur because we no longer have time to talk to one another heart to heart. I predict that this will change again someday. I predict that the pendulum of social change will swing back to a place where people are so hungry for real love and relationship that they will begin seeking this kind of love in earnest. But the question is, how much suffering will have occurred in the meantime? And how will we, the ones who call ourselves Christians, how will we exhibit the image of Christ in our corner of the world? Yes, our scripture passage this morning exemplifies the awesome power of God. The demons feared it. The possessed man was saved by it, and the neighbors did not know what to make of it. When Jesus demonstrated that God has absolute dominion over evil and an unparalleled compassion for those who seem lost. The first one to greet Jesus as he arrived in the land of the Gerasenes was a man who was in great torment. His need is well documented in the initial verses. He was considered possessed by demons, so worn out and distressed that he wore no clothes and lived among the tombs, an outcast in his community, so feared that he was often bound by shackles and kept under guard. The cause of the man's affliction is undefined, but there is no doubt regarding its intensity. His life is essentially out of his control. And when Jesus asks, "What is your name?" he replies, "Legion," indicating that the influences upon him were many. In those days, a legion in the Roman army consisted of 3,000 to 6,000 soldiers who had no intentions of being conquered. So the man said his name was Legion. And moreover, this man no longer abides among the living in the local town, but rather dwells among the dead in the tombs. Tombs, we should note, are another place considered ritually unclean. All of which means that Jesus, the Jewish itinerant rabbi proclaiming the coming kingdom of God, goes to an unclean land to meet a man possessed by an unclean spirit living in an unclean place. According to the Jewish religious leaders' thinking at that time, this was the very last place that Jesus should be. But then, when we stop to think about it, this is exactly the type of place where God usually shows up. At our moments of profound doubt, grief, loss, and defeat. And this is the point that often surprises us. God shows up among those who have no relationship with him and perhaps have no desire for a relationship. But he shows up to transform a life. Let's not overlook a key point here in the scripture. After this encounter with the possessed man, Jesus sails back home again, which means that the whole trek across a stormy sea with his disciples in tow was all for one purpose, to meet this unclean man possessed by an unclean spirit living in an unclean and forsaken environment. All of which suggests to me that there is absolutely nowhere God is not willing to go to reach and free and heal those who are broken and despairing. In other words, there is no place on earth that is God forsaken. And more importantly, there is no person who is God forsaken. Unclean, outcast, abandoned, unpopular, incarcerated, unbeliever, no one is left out. Consider that this Gentile man who was freed from an unclean spirit wanted to get in the boat and follow Jesus, but Jesus sent him back home with the instructions, "Go and tell what God has done for you." To put this another way, there are no conditions to be met to receive God's love and grace. You don't have to be wealthy or poor. You don't have to be from one ethnic group or another. You don't have to have been a believer your whole life. You may have come to believe only recently, or you may have no faith at all. Jesus seeks out everyone, even this unclean man possessed by an unclean spirit living in an unclean place. And it is noteworthy that he made a special trip across a stormy sea. Remember, it was the unclean spirit within the man who was the first to recognize the divine character of Jesus. In verse 28 of our passage, it cried out, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." But simply recognizing the presence of God is not the same as wanting to go home. The demon's true desire was for self-preservation, even if it meant entering into an unclean herd of swine. Ironically, the sanctuary of safety that the demons selected turned into the means of their destruction, as the newly inhabited pigs rushed headlong into the lake and drowned. Meanwhile, the man sat gathering his senses. He was finally safe at the feet of Jesus. When we encounter the presence of God in the confusion of our lives, we are faced with a similar problem. While accepting the healing and salvation of Christ may seem logical from a point of view of faith, our human instincts sometimes drive us in different directions. Just as the man in the story seems to have no will of his own, but is led to and fro by the demons within, we often resist change and flee to the familiar, or the comfortable, or the secure, living a life that is ruled more by fear than by faith. Only when the man fell before Jesus did he find any kind of hope. And likewise, we can find peace and transformation at the feet of our Savior. And as we look around us in our lives of hurriedness and commotion, what about our neighbors? What about those around us? Indeed, there is some truth to the observation that we sometimes prefer the lifestyle we know to a transformed life that we don't know. There in front of them was the evidence of God's power, a gift given for their benefit. The demons that had plagued this man for so long were gone, not simply driven away, but destroyed. As for the man, his life was visibly changed. He was no longer a victim, but a victor. He was transformed and given a new chance at life by the one called the Son of the Most High God. Yet the people of the area asked Jesus to leave, willingly forfeiting any opportunity to further benefit from his presence. It said they were afraid. And although the man wanted to go with Jesus, Jesus said to him, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." Yes, with those words, Jesus sent the man who was healed back to his own city to serve as a witness to all. On a personal level, he had been the recipient of life-changing grace, but as one who was now a transformed and cleansed member of his community, as one who had encountered the awesome power of God intimately, he now was given the responsibility to be a witness for Christ. In our world today, may each of us experience that same transforming power of God. And may each of us have the courage to share our story with all who need to hear. To the glory of God. Amen. And now, friends, let us enjoy this beautiful song that has been arranged and performed for us by Alan Vest. This is Softly and Tenderly, a song written by Will Thompson, prepared for us today by Alan. Here is Softly and Tenderly.
Yeah. graciously tender, we Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come on, calling, O sinner, come on.
Our thanks to Alan for that great song, Softly and Tenderly. Such a familiar song. And it really does talk about the love of God, softly and tenderly. Friends, as we listen to the news and understand all of the hatred that's going on in the world today, it's important that we remember that God's love is no match for any evil that exists in our world. It is the reason that we can have hope. And so let us remember from our scripture passage out of Luke today that Jesus crossed a stormy lake specifically to heal a man that was infected with evil spirits. And then he told the man he had the responsibility to go back and tell all that God had done for him. There is no place that Jesus won't go to help us find that love of God. That does give us hope. It gives us hope in our world today. It gives us hope for the future. Have a wonderful week ahead, and thank you for listening.